Hello, friends. Welcome to Leadership Lessons. I'm Pastor Adam. Thanks for being here today. I really believe that as we dive in here to part three of this series, Whole Vision Leadership, you're really going to be blessed as we wrap things up today. And I know that whether you're leading right now or you're a potential leader, or even if you're just a member in a church or an organization, or you run a business, that through this series, really through all of the leadership lessons that I bring to you, I really believe that you can glean something, no matter whether it's in the business world, an organization, the PTA, the church, whether you, even if you're not one of the main leaders in the church, if you just lead a group or the youth group or the children's ministry, whatever, you can glean things from this, as well as glean things that will help you make the leaders around you better. And so we're going to just dive right into it. As always, before I go into it, I want to just encourage you and remind you that if you want more information about me or about our ministry, about all the things that we do, just go to our website, and it's probably the best place to go, and you'll find links to social media. You can follow me there, and you can follow our ministry there, whether that's Twitter or Instagram or Facebook. You'll have access then to our live streaming services, and I just believe that it will be a blessing to you. So go to freshfirechurch.net. Again, that's freshfirechurch.net. You know, when we left off on part two, I said to you, one of the last statements I made was that seniority doesn't make a leader, and that we have to stop promoting people based on the fact of how long they've been with you. You know, I think sometimes as a leader, we promote people because they have been with us for a while, and we say, well, I can trust them. And so, but I've learned that, as we talked earlier, you can't just promote for that reason. We have to stop giving people titles that don't describe them. I know that when I came into ministry, I grew up in the church, and I watched my parents, you know, be in ministry, and I saw so much. I saw, you know, different types of leadership in the church. I saw more of a democratic government. Then I also saw the theocratic government, which I believe the Word teaches us to have in the church. And I've seen various types, but regardless of the type of government that we see work in the church, I've watched leaders give people titles that do not describe them over and over. And myself, early on in ministry, I did the same thing. I saw potential in people, and I gave them a title based on what potential I saw in them, not based on where they were right there. Because I had hoped and believed that it would help make them reach higher, and in so many of those cases, it did not. I've learned that you give people titles that describe them where they are. And as they succeed and as they fulfill those, you as they begin to reach higher, then you change the position, you change the title. Our titles that we give ourselves in business, in church, should describe our function. Don't give someone a title of a deacon if they don't function as one. Don't give them a title as an associate pastor if they're not functioning as one, all right? I'll tell you this. Many people around me started with me, and what I've found is that people can go with me if they can grow with me, all right? There are some people in your life that they started with you, but where are they now? Or you started in business with them, or you started in ministry with them, and you can go with me if you can grow with me. See, you can't just go with me because you like to hang around, or because you think you should, or because you just want to, you know? You must sharpen yourself to remain relative like I do. And I use that term relative very carefully. That's a term that's really going through the church right now. And we have to be very careful when we say relative. We want to be relative, and we want to be able to relate, but we cannot relate to the degree that we abandon the gospel, all right? So we have to sharpen ourselves. You know, I look for people who read and study and come in and pray and make opportunities to serve. You know, that's what I look for. I want people who can grow with me. I want people who want to grow in the Word with me. I want people who want to grow as a leader. I want people who are diving into leadership material. I don't want them just to listen to me. You know, there's so much out there, and I want people who are wanting to do that. But I want to move on. I just had to wrap up those last couple of statements there from finishing up part two. As a leader, as a potential leader, you have to learn to survive the rejection period. In any position, in any ministry, in any promotion, all right, there will be a rejection period when you step into a new organization, all right? There just will. I think back years ago when I got into ministry, and I was serving in a lot of capacities, and I like to share from my own experience and some of the things that I've been through because it's what's helped me grow and learn and develop as a leader. I was serving in a multi-capacity, you know, at the time, and I've said before, I was leading worship, but at the same time of leading worship, I was driving a church van. I would clean the church. I was, you know, at times teaching the children, teaching the youth. You know, I was bouncing all over as a leader. And my parents recognized the amount of leadership that I was carrying, the weight that I was carrying, and the responsibility. And they saw me functioning. There's the word. I was functioning as an associate pastor. And so they ended up working behind the scenes to connect with the organization we were part of to get me credentialed and licensed, ordained as a minister. And because I was functioning, I was meeting with people, and I was visiting, and I was going to the hospitals and praying, and I was still leading the worship, and yet I would pick up the van keys and drive it anytime there was a need. And there for a while, I was doing it pretty regularly. You know, I was teaching the youth. I was filling in as the youth leader and all these things. And yet, even though I was doing all of that, once I was sort of appointed and the church laid hands and appointed me as an associate pastor of that church, there was a rejection period. I'll never forget that day. And, you know, they surprised me. I was blown away. I wasn't expecting it at all. And, you know, they said, you know, from this point forward, this is not just Adam, this is Pastor Adam. And, you know, I've never been one that, oh, you have to call me pastor. I do believe that men and women of God are worthy of double honor, as the Bible says. But, you know, I'm not offended when people don't use the title pastor. And yet, it took so many people in that ministry a long time to really see me as that. I was functioning in that role. But there was a rejection period, you know. Let me put it to you this way. You know, you can ask a bone graft specialist. The reason they give so many antibiotics when they do a bone graft is because of the rejection of the new bone to the old bone to allow time for the netting, as they call it, to take place within. You know, I've been through some back surgeries, and I've had you know, lab created bone that they've used on me. They've used cadaver bone, and there's sort of that period where, you know, you don't know, is it going to take, is it not, and so they pump you full of antibiotics. And yet I think about that because there is that period where your body can reject it, right? Often we accept something as normal that is only temporary period of rejection. If you're serving as a leader, a new leader, or moving into a new position, don't just accept something as normal that's only going to be a temporary period. It's only a temporary season of rejection. And just because they're rejecting you now doesn't mean they're going to continue to. I've learned that people have to know that they can trust you, right? And so once they released me in that mantle of my life and I began to serve in a greater capacity, you know, I had to prove, really, to a lot of them, it wasn't that I had to do more work or suddenly have all this heavenly wisdom, or, you know, I've always been one that if I don't know, I'll tell you I don't know. If you ask me something about the Word and I don't know, I'll tell you I don't know, but I'll find out, or I'll seek the Lord on it. You know, but there is a rejection period, but it's not going to last forever. What I've found is, do you have the character, do you have the integrity to see it through? Do you have the character? Do you have the integrity to change minds? So you've got to stop allowing your need to be accepted to overrule and override your assignment. There's such a need, and I find this so much in the church, that we have such a approval addiction in the church. And you've got to stop allowing your need to be accepted. I've got to say that again. Stop allowing your need to be accepted to overrule your assignment, right? God didn't send you there to be popular. He sent you there to perform a function, all right? I need to, as a leader, I have to worry less about my popularity and more about my function. When I come into the office, I'm sitting in my office right now recording this for you, I have to worry less about whether someone's mad at me, whether I did I do everything I could do, that am I doing everything I can, or am I focusing on my function? Because if I'm focusing on my function, it's difficult then for people to find something to be upset with me about, right? Did you come to be accepted, or did you come to function? See, if you're going to join my leadership team, I need to know, are you interested in being accepted, or did you come to function? All right. I hope that you can get a hold of this because it's important for you. You know, we all sort of have our own language. We have our own way of communicating, right? And it's important that the leaders around you and I know our language, know the way that we are. But, you know, people who know me know what I need and what to do by my unspoken language. You know, for me, I've had people through the years that have served with me in many capacities, whether it's as on the pastoral staff or as an elder, as an AP, maybe they're an armor bearer, and some of them have learned to get to know me, and they made an investment to get to know me, enough to know what I need when I give a look. You know, that's important. That's really important that as leaders that we function and we mesh and we spend time together enough and we pay attention to details that we can know each other. Just even from a look, even just from any unspoken communication. I want to move on now into the book of Psalms, chapter 133. Psalms chapter 133, verses 1 and 2. Forgive me, I had to take a drink of my coffee. And look what it says here in Psalms 133. Behold how good and pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the oil that fell on Aaron, on his beard, on his skirts. Amen. How good and pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. You see, as leaders, we have to often check the quality of the oil that flows. So I want to talk to you for a moment about quality control. Sometimes, as a leader, you've got to check the quality of the oil that flows. Right? Think about this. You know, when growing up or whatever, my mom would use like a linen tablecloth on the table because linen is resistant to stains. It doesn't soak up the stains. You know, the priests in the Word of God, the priest's garment was linen, so it wouldn't soak up the oil. All right. You and I need to learn from that, and we need to build our organization. We need to build our churches with people who are comfortable to let the oil slide, not people who are trying to soak up all the credit. Hallelujah. This may seem strange to you, but we've got to be scared of people who try to soak up all the credit because that's not a linen ephod, right? And the oil won't slide. The Bible teaches us that we talk about we want to soak up the oil, we soak up the oil, but the oil needs to slide. It needs to run off of our leaders, down onto those that are following us, those that are in our ministries, those that are working alongside of us. You see, the oil that hit your head, you want to check it at the bottom of the skirt to see if it has been diluted or polluted. I use those two terms a lot. We need to check our ministries. We need to check the oil that is on our head. We need to look at ourselves. We need to look at our leadership style. We need to look at every part of our ministry and say, I've got to look at the oil that hit my head. And then I need to check it at the bottom of the skirt to see if it has been diluted or polluted. Because you want the same oil in the parking lot as is in the pulpit. Come on, somebody. You want the same oil in the parking lot that's in the pulpit. If you don't, you're going to be preaching them in one door and someone else will be preaching them out the other door. That's why you've got to make sure, you've got to do quality control among your leaders and say, I've had it. I've had that the problem where the oil was being poured, and you got someone in the midst of the camp working against you and conniving and lying and sneaking and doing all sorts of things. You know, you can have an alien in your organization, and that's usually generally someone with another vision. And therefore, now you have division, right? And Jesus said what? A house divided against itself cannot stand. So it ends up bottlenecking the spirit that's in the house. That's when you put people in positions who are power hungry, all right? And they don't give out information because information is control. Boy, there's something there. So we've got to be real careful. We've got to know people. We've got to see their function, all right? Because the last thing you want to do is have people in positions that are power hungry. The last thing you want to do is have people in positions that aren't forwarding on information and are kind of holding it to themselves. And I've seen it. I've had this problem where you have leaders and they're leading and you think they're passing information on, they're forwarding emails or they're completing calls or they're just sharing what they know, and yet they're not, because power-hungry people know that information is control, all right? It's control. And so it'll create creates many disconnects amongst the body. And then it definitely dilutes and pollutes the vision of the house. The Bible says that a people without a vision will perish. When that division comes in, it makes it hard. It dilutes and pollutes the vision, and therefore people then become disconnected. They think, oh, well, you know, they're not communicating. They're not telling me what's going on. They're not explaining this to me. They don't work alongside me. They don't all these things. And so, wherever they are bottlenecking, it's not that you aren't sending it. It's that they're holding it. All right. So you can be sending something forth. The anointing, the word of God, instruction, direction of some kind. And if they're holding information, right, it's not that you're not sending it forward, they're holding on to it. And so it is not a linen ephod, so therefore it's not flowing, all right? And you need to have an organization, you need to have a church, you need to have a ministry where the oil is flowing. The anointing flows. So everything that comes out of God flows. You got to know that. There has to be a flow in our worship. Amen. There has to be a flow in the manner in which we preach. There's a flow in our leadership. There's a flow about everything. And if you're not seeing the harvest come in, someone is soaking up the oil. Listen to what I just said. If you are not seeing the harvest, someone is soaking up the oil. So it's time to check the integrity of the oil. All right. You don't have enough anointing to take that city, but the anointing will not work. You know, you have to understand, you and I, you do have enough anointing. There's enough anointing to take the city in which you're in, but the anointing will not work if someone is soaking up the control. All right. You cannot work and have people in your camp and your team that is soaking up control. You know, you might be too nice to lead if you've made friends with your demons to the demise of your vision. Hallelujah. I love you to tell you enough the truth. You might be just too nice of a person to be a leader if you've made friends with your demons to the demise of your vision. All right. If you get someone under you that will not sit under you, they will break the flow. All right. They're going to break up the flow. The anointing flows as a celebration of unity, the Bible says. It says, behold how good and pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. All right? It's why it's important. You hear me use the term, whether it's your church organization, the word organization, the root word for that is organ, right? An organ is a cell, all right? If they don't fit in the cellular structure of what you're called to do, it's not an organization. So there's not a flow. So you're losing time. All right? You're losing time. Glory to God. There's a lot in that those minutes that I just packed you full of. So I touched on quality control. Let me move on. Location, location, location. All right? In order, the order of the house releases the power of the house, according to Matthew 14:19. God desires that everything be done decently in order. So it's the order of the house that releases the power of the house. It says Matthew 14:19, and he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to the disciples and the disciples to the multitudes. See, miracles come with order. We preach so much about this story in the body of Christ, but miracles come with order. You know, I've promoted people without competence. You know, we talked about that a little bit last time. And if you promote someone and they don't shine, now you're stuck. All right? You promote among people who have more room. All right? Who have more room for God to move. God will promote you to the level of your tolerance of pain. All right? Let me say this, if they're complaining, then they don't have the room for promotion. All right? You've got to be able to identify that. If you've got someone with a critical spirit or someone that's just complaining, I've always said, if you complain, you'll remain. If you praise, God will raise you up. All right? And so if she's complaining, she doesn't have room for promotion. If you can't run with the footmen, how can you run with the horses? All right? So if you were complaining about the problems you were having at the level you were on, then we've got to get up off of your knees and stop asking God to bless you with more, because more of this is more of that. Are you hearing me? We've got to really watch out for ourselves as leaders, for those that work around us in leadership, because we may be canceling out our prayer life with murmuring. All right? We can't be murmuring as a leader, right? We've got to realize what I said. If people are complaining, then they don't have room for promotion. I've got to know that they can see beyond right now. Don't complain to me about money. You've got to be able to see beyond the lack thereof. Don't complain to me about empty seats. I need you to see beyond the empty seats, all right? Because when you complain with 30-fold, why was God ever going to give you 60-fold or 100-fold, right? Some people, I really believe, need to repent right now because we've been murmuring and complaining about where we are right now. Don't complain about the building you're in right now. Good Lord, you need to see beyond that building, right? The Bible says, despise not the day of small beginnings. That is because if you get hateful down low, you're never going to make it up high. Don't get hateful down low, all right? You got to say to yourself, am I ready for more? Because we say we are, but if you're complaining where you are, let me tell you something. In the eyes of God, you are not ready for more. Because he says, despise not the day of small beginnings. You know, we need to just begin to say, Lord, do I really want more? Am I sure I want more? Because that's going to mean more pain, more suffering, more difficulty, more struggle. It's going to mean all of that. You know, we need to just declare and change our mind and say, Lord, I'm going to shout for more, more, Lord, more. You know, there's more blessing, more abundance, more provision. But that also means more persecution, more attack, and more enemies. So that's why I say more of this means more of that. You want to stay there until what used to be hard seems normal. You know, conflict doesn't bother me. The ministry, when it gets in financial difficulty, doesn't bother me. It's normal to me. There's changes and ebbs and flows when it comes to all of that, you know? You know, think about it this way. You work out at the gym, and over time, you should be increasing your weights. You have to increase weight with growth, or you're not challenging the muscle, right? So when God sees what used to be hard is easy, he'll promote you. But you're going to be sore again, all right? Just like at the gym, every time you add weight, you're going to be sore again. You've got to understand that new levels announce that you are at the new level, all right? That new devils announce that you are at a new level. When you are confronted with some type of new devil, that's announcing that you are at a new level. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Whew. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to try to wrap this up today, so I'm going to move quickly. I want to give you quickly 3 dimensions for feeding leaders. 3 dimensions for feeding leaders. Hallelujah. Number one, the first dimension for feeding leaders is, number one is glean up. Glean up. You know, you are not at the top of your game. You can't be intimidated to glean up. It's all right if people understand more than you. All right, it's all right if they know more than you. You've got to be willing to catch droppings from those who can glean. You can glean from. You know, don't compete with them because your ego could block your next dimension. But you have to be able to glean from them. You want to be in a room that you don't know what they're talking about. You know, you're careful what you say when you get the mic. You know, you want to be in those kinds of settings. You gotta think of it this way. You know, that it's a disgrace for you to be in a great room around great people and you pick up nothing because of your ego and you catch nothing. I've seen it, and that's a mistake that we make. If you're around pastors or leaders or people who are leading bigger organizations and more people and all of that, more influence, you need to really, you know, sometimes we will feel intimidated. But it's a disgrace if you're in that great room and around all kinds of great people and you get nothing because you allow your ego to get in the way. When you get in great rooms, don't try to measure up because there's nothing in them to want to mentor mentor someone that's already there, that's already at their level. You know, it is your void that attracts greater leaders to you, all right? God put you in a room so that you can glean up. Don't get intimidated. You know, I'm around other pastors that have larger ministries and things like that all the time, which enables and helps me to glean and learn and be mentored so many times so that in turn then, I can lead and mentor others that I lead. Number two, reach across. You know, don't get so busy gleaning up that you forget to reach across. All right? Think of it this way, that fruitfulness requires cross-pollination. What do I mean? I'm saying share what you know. All right? Reach across your denomination if you're in one, right? Reach across your race. God didn't send you white people, black people, or rich or poor people, right? God sent you to teach people, and God sent you to reach across, you know, economic lines, reach across ethnic lines, reach across all sorts of things. You got to be willing to cross-pollinate. I believe that it's the heart of God that our churches and our ministries are diversified, you know, right? There's some people in your life that will be bees. They will connect you to things you couldn't reach by yourself. You need to welcome that, all right? If you've got people that want to introduce you and connect you with other people, yes, hallelujah, they're just like a bee. They're going to help connect you to people and things that you normally wouldn't be, all right? Number three, after we glean up, we reach across, then teach down. Don't try to teach people above you, all right? People don't learn from people they don't respect, all right? You gotta teach down because you'll catch the guy that needs you, and he's reaching up. All right, you've got to be willing to teach down to those that need a word. Right, in order to teach people, they have to respect you. All right, and they will not respect you because you're impressed with you. All right, you can only teach down to someone who sees you as up. In other words, people that are following you, people that worship with you, people that follow you as a leader need to see you as up. They need to say, I need to have the faith that they have. I need to be able to have the excellence that they have. I want to get to the place where they are. If they don't see you as up, they're not your people. All right. In other words, if they don't see you as up, they're not going to respect you. All right. If they don't respect you, then you can't lead them. And it's important that if we're going to lead people, they respect us. We've got to find the people who appreciate being in your space, that appreciate being around you, not the people who are waiting on you to hoop and holler and do something for them and that you're just a phone call away. You need to find people who appreciate being around you, that just like being near you, right? Find people who appreciate what you have and start dropping stuff, right? Start feeding them, right? Start teaching them, all right? Don't ever get too big that you don't teach down to those that are following you. Because here's the thing. The reason I said we got to glean up, reach across, and teach down, because we glean up, we reach across, and we teach down, then we have a circle. And if you'll think back to part two, I talked to you about those circles, right? If you do that if you'll glean up, reach across, and teach down, God will open the windows of heaven, my friend, and he will give you fresh vision. He will give you fresh vision. Hallelujah. See, I'll make the statement and then I'll quit for today. Leaders have vision that is always ahead of your circumstance. Leaders always have vision that is always ahead of your circumstance. When God calls us to be leaders, he calls us to be leaders because we're a visionary. We're someone that can see beyond our circumstance. We're someone that can hear God and help people to see beyond their circumstance. And that's what it is to be a leader. That's what it is for you and I to have whole vision leadership. Because I see enough vision that's going to take me beyond where I am, and I have enough vision to take the people that I'm leading beyond where they are, out of their problems, out of their lack, out of their, you know, misery, out of their depression, out of their state of rejection, whatever it may be. You know, that's what it is to be a leader. You're leading people to somewhere greater, somewhere higher. You know, friends, I'm nowhere near done bringing to you leadership teaching, and I'm going to pause there for this series, and I just think that it's important that I just pause there, and when we come back on another podcast, we'll bring all new teaching to you about leadership and helping us, all of us, to become better leaders and to lead with integrity, to lead with character. I really believe that's important today. And let me encourage you again today before we go that, you know, we're here to pray for you. We're here to encourage you and just lift you up before heaven. And if we can pray for you in any specific way, or if you've been blessed by this three-part series, would you drop us a note and just let us know that it blessed you? And you can do that by going to the website and clicking on Contact Us. Or if you follow us on social media, just send us a note and just say, you know, it really blessed me. It's helping me. It taught me some things. Or, you know, if nothing else, maybe we cracked a door open for you to really see more and gain some other revelation that I didn't even get into. And if so, would you let us know? We'd appreciate hearing from you. Again, our website is freshfirechurch.net. Friends, we love you. We're praying for you here at the ministry, and God's doing great things here, and we're expanding, and we're about to open another location, and I'm thankful and grateful for all of that, but most importantly, I'm grateful and thankful for the opportunity to share the gospel, to be able to teach leadership to you today on this program, and I'm able to teach on our TV program through Fire Moment and our Sunday morning services that broadcast, but the one thing that I have such a passion for and I really enjoy is teaching leaders. I love it. I enjoy it. And really believe it's an area where God's anointed me to minister and to help. And so I pray that you've been blessed by it, and that you can take what I've shared today and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Friends, we love you. We're going to continue to pray for you. Until next time, I pray the fire of God consumes your life. Goodbye, friends.